And also, you know, I'm pretty sure Madam Kim made an announcement. I just want to thank all the devotees who turned up for the Rathi Yatra Parade on Saturday evening. It was really wonderful. It was nice to see devotees dancing and chanting for an hour and 45 minutes nonstop. Our only regrets is that, you know, we didn't make proper arrangements. We didn't arrange transportation so more devotees can come. And both Radhika and I were sick, so we couldn't arrange prasadam. Last moment, we tried to make some arrangements and it didn't work out. So hopefully next year we can do better. So anyway.
Thanks for doing it.
Well, thank you very much. So today, we'll be reading Srimad Bhagavatam. This is not the right book. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 4, entitled The Incarnations of Godhead. We are doing two texts today, 18 and 19. Is that correct? So responsibly we can do 18. Gupto pyaye mano ilau sadayas chamatsye. Krode hato ditija udaratam basham kshang. Kurme drito drir amrito matane swaprishte. Griha prapanam ibarajam amunchadartam. Gupto pyaye manurilau sadayas chamatsye. Krode hato ditija udaratam bushakshman. Korme dritu drir amrito matane swaprishte. Grahat prapanam iba rajam amunchadartam. Gupto pyaye manuralau sadayas chamatsye. Krode hato ditija udaratam bashakshmam. Korme dritu jir amrito matane swaprishte. Grahat prapanam bijarat. Grahat prapanam bijarajam amunchadartam. Please chant. Gupto pyaye manurilau sadayas chamatsye. Guptaha was protected. Apyaye, during the annihilation. Manahu, Vaishvata Manu. Ila, the earth planet. Osadaya, the earths. Cha, and Matsye, in his incarnation as a fish. Praude, in his incarnation as a boar. Hataha was killed. Ditijaha, the demoniac son of Diti, Hiranyakshas. Udarata, by him who was delivering. Ambashaha, from the waters. Shamam, the earth. Kurme, as a tortoise. Jutaha was held. Adrihi, the mountain mandara. Amrita unmatane. When the nectar was being churned by the demons and demigods together. Swarpushte, upon his own back. Grahat, from the crocodile. Prapanam, surrendered. Ibarajam, the king of the elephants. Amunchak, he freed. Artam, distressed. So we go to the next verse. So translation, and there are no purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. In his appearance as a fish, the Lord protected Satyavrata Manu, the earth and her valuable herbs. He protected them from the waters of annihilation. As a boar, the Lord killed Hiranyaksha, the son of Diti, while delivering the earth from the universal waters. As a tortoise, he lifted Mandara Mountain on his back so that nectar could be churned from the ocean. The Lord saved the surrendered king of the elephants, Ajendra, who was suffering terrible distress from the grips of a crocodile. And 19, translation. The Lord also delivered the tiny ascetic sages called Balakilas. When they fell into the water in a cow's hoofprint and Indra was laughing at them, the Lord then saved Indra When Indra was covered by darkness due to the sinful reaction of killing Vritsasura, when the wives of the demigods were trapped in the palace of the demons without any shelter, the Lord saved them. In his incarnation of Narsimha, the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu, the king of demons, to free the saintly devotees from fear. Om Jnana Kimrandasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshirun Nitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitamistam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastite Atta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Stite Devi Pranamahi Hare Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavamebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhutaleshmati Shilavedaukuriti Namini Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pachayana Nirvishesha Samyadani Pasvati Vishikrami Hare Krishna. So today we're continuing this course between Maharaj Nini and the nine Yogendras. And in this current set of verses, one of the nine Yogendras, Drumala, is speaking to Maharaj Nini. And he's describing, he's giving a little hint of all incarnations of the Lord. So we heard several being mentioned here. And most of them are the primary incarnations. You know, there are unlimited incarnations of the Lord, unlimited manifestations. But most of these here that are mentioned are the principal incarnations. So as we all know, there are like 10 primary or principal incarnations of the Lord. Do we all know what those are? Do we know that little song? Pardon? Oh, the song? Okay. Matsya Kumavaraha Nashinga Devan Vamana Parsuraman Rama Baladevan Buddha and Kalki is the last of all to come in Kali Yuga. So anyway, those are the principal incarnations. Those who have kids would probably have that tape playing in their homes. If not, you definitely want to have it. So anyway, here we're talking about a great devotee, Maharaj Nimi, and some great sages discussing the Lord's incarnations. So the question is that came to my mind, especially since there are no popos here, is why again that they are repeating these incarnations of the Lord. So many places in the Bhagavatam, we are in the 11th canto, and from day one in the first canto coming up, so many of these incarnations, you know, they have been talked about. It's repeated over and over again by different personalities questioning, different personalities answering, and going on. So why is it that again we are hearing these coming up? Of course, we know that this is pastimes of the Lord, so you repeat it over and over and it becomes more convincing. This is what we do, glorifying the Lord all the time. But yet, there's a question here as to why it's being repeated again. Why these sages are describing these incarnations again. Can some of us think of any reasons why they're explaining again of these incarnations? Any suggestions? Yes, Shesha Prabhu?
Well, the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, is a Mahapurana, and Mahapuranas have certain characteristics to them, and like different subject matters, creation, maintenance, like that. And so descriptions, one reason why there are various descriptions of the incarnations, because of the role they play in those things like creation, maintenance, etc. So you find descriptions of the incarnations that fulfill the purpose of our Mahaprana by covering that subject matter.
Okay, thank you very much. Somebody else? Did I see another hand? Oh, Mother Rangatni.
We can appreciate how different speakers bring up different aspects at different times about the same subject.
Okay. Any other suggestions? So, one thing that I was thinking of is that at the time of the Bhagavatam, when these subjects were discussed, there were no written subject matters. You know, nothing was written. It was all oral. And as such, the facility we have today of having the Bhagavatam from day one, all these scriptures that we can read and understand, these devotees, they didn't have those opportunities. They didn't have those facilities. Like, for example, earlier here, if you heard of Maharaj Yudhisthira, he questioned and so many information was described to him, different devotees questioned and answers were given. You know, came to my mind, well, Maharaj Nini could have, you know, gone through the Bhagavatam, read the Bhagavatam, and he can understand all these descriptions. But what we understand here is Maharaj Nini and the sages, they are the Bhagavatam. They are the subject matters of the Bhagavatam. And this information that what we have available, so many scriptures and all these information that our dear Srila Prabhupada has given to us, back in those days, they weren't available. You know, so then, time and time again, different devotees were, you know, they were asked these questions, and these incarnations would be described to them again and again, because they didn't have that facility of going to scripture, going to Vedabase, going to, you know, Google and all sort of stuff. So that can be like one aspect also. So what we have is much more available than what they had in those days. They were great devotees, and by the Lord's arrangement, teachers, saints, sages come to them and describe the glories of devotional service. Even in the case of Maharaj Indrajumna, back in the Sachi Yuga, they had no facility for the form of the Lord to worship. So he was in great anxiety. He was very morose that he was praying that he wanted to get darshan of the Lord. And then finally he got the the darshan of the deity of Lord Jagannath Baldev and Subhadra Devi. So the facility we have here for deity worship and all these, they weren't available back in those days. So this is a very, very fortunate situation for us to be able to get the facilities of understanding these subject matters. So this brings us to a point where one thought I have here is we're just by hearing and accepting what is being said by these personalities, it means that there are two types of people back in those days are conspicuous by their absence, and today they are conspicuous by their presence. So can anybody give an idea as to what those types of people are? Back in those days, they were conspicuous by their absence. Any clue? No? Lost faces? So, one thought I have is that in those days, the cheaters and the cheater and the cheated were conspicuous by their absence. You know, that. So, when these sages came and mentioned to Maharaj Nimi of the glories of the Lord and so many other parts of the Bhagavatam, these devotees wholeheartedly accepted, because they know that these personalities are thoroughly honest, they have nothing to gain by cheating anyone, and thus they are not being cheated also. Even the case of in the Mahabharata with Dronacharya, his close childhood friend and then his later arch enemy, what's his name? Anyway, the father of Draupadi, Drupad. So his son, he performed meditation to get a son who would cause the death of Dronacharya, Dhrishtadyumna. And Dronacharya had full knowledge of that. But still, he did not hesitate to impart all his knowledge, his military skill and art and knowledge, onto Dhrishtadyumna. He wasn't a cheater. You know, he imparted all his knowledge, knowing very well that this same child would kill me. He would be the cause of my death. So that was a level of culture. You know, there were no cheaters. I remember when, as a child, my father told me a story of the cat and the tiger. You know, they call all those species, they call them members of the cat family. So he was telling me why they call it the cat family and not the lion family or the tiger family or cheetah family. Cheetah. So he was saying that the cat is like the most expert, and this little tiny cat is like the teacher of all these members of the cat family. So he taught them all the knowledge of pouncing and jumping and you know, so forth. So one day the tiger thought, well, you know, I'm going to kill this cat and then I'll be the boss. I'll be the, you know, the head of the cat family. So he jumped on the cat to kill it. So when he jumped, the cat made a back jump and the tiger broke its neck. So before it died, he said, you know, cat, you didn't teach me that one. So he said, if I had taught you everything, I would have been dead today. So the cat is the only one that knows that back jump. The only one in the cat family. So in other words, like in Vedic culture, these things didn't exist, that no one hesitated to impart all their knowledge, that they weren't cheaters in any way, shape, or form. So that is one of the quality. So when these sages were presenting, well, these are incarnations of the Lord, you know, many of times they didn't quote references. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But because of honesty, sincerity, surrender, the absence of the cheaters and the cheated, these became the quality and the grounds of understanding Vedic knowledge. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna also spoke about this. You know, when Krishna declared that he is God, he said all the great saints and sages, headed by Narada, Devala, and all the other rishis, has mentioned this, and now you yourself are confirming it. So yet again, they weren't anything, any written knowledge. But on the basis of this cultured life, that things were going on perfectly. So by us understanding these subject matters, crossing over this material world becomes a very easy task for us. Srila Prabhupada says, engaging in devotion service, crossing this material world is considered like a jumping over the waters of the hoof print of a calf. You know, you have this hoof print and just a little puddle you can jump over. So this brings us here to this point where on the second verse we talk about these miniature sages, these Vailakhyas sages. We haven't heard much about them in the Bhagavatam. They are actually 60,000 brothers, and they are very, very tiny for some divine arrangement. They happen to be the children of the daughter of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, which, in other words, they are the nephews of Lord Kapiladev. As Lord Kapiladev, as we know, is the son of Devahuti and Kardama Muni. So his sister begotten these 60,000 sages. So it wasn't uncommon by mystic yoga and mystic power that these things happen, that so many births can be given. It's inconceivable to us, but it happens. So these sages, they were trapped. They were so tiny that they were trapped in the waters of the hoof print of a calf, and the Lord came and saved them. So when I heard this, I thought, you know, like something is a little different here, you know. We are talking of devotional service that we can easily jump over the hoof print of a calf, that life in this material world, the ability to get out of this world becomes so easy that just by it's like leaping over the hoof print of a calf. But these 60,000 sages, they were trapped in there. They were so small. Of course, we're talking about a physical situation there, and we're talking about a connotational situation of how it can become easy. But one thought that came to mind after reading this is we have heard time and time again that Srila Prabhupada mentioned that this, you know, life can be so easy once we develop Krishna consciousness. Coming out of this material world can be so easy that it's just like jumping over the waters trapped in a calf's hoof print. So the thought came to me, is that a personal idea or an impersonal idea? The thought of jumping over, you know. What are some thoughts you have? Does it sound like it's like a personal thing of devotional service that we jump over, or is it an impersonal idea of taking things in our own hands and we try to jump over? You see the point I'm getting at? Point I'm making? That how do we see that? Without, you know, Srila Prabhupada said that many times. But how do we kind of conceive and understand that? Is it a case of we making our own efforts? You know, like we understand that like the devotee way is like the cat way. We are just dependents, and the mother picks the cat up in the claws and take. Or the Mayavada or the impersonal way is taking things in their own hands, where they jump on the back of their mother, and they got to hold on with their own strength to go. So which way do we go? How do we accept? How do we proceed on such a matter? I have a little note here from Srila Prabhupada. Let me see where it's at. That gives us a little clue on this. Srila Prabhupada say on a morning walk that we should pray to Krishna to pick us up and take us home as soon as possible, as there is no happiness in the material world other than preaching Krishna consciousness under his direction. He said no happiness in social life, political life, family life. Of course, it is different for devotees, but ultimately it is the material world. So anyway, it's the first sentence of that I'm indicating that with all the philosophies there of being able to, life can become so easy, so we can be able to cross this material ocean by just like leaping over. But a better position for the devotee is a total dependence of Krishna, where Krishna himself comes and picks us up. So, yes, Tamahar Prabhu. Can you give Tamahar Prabhu the mic, please?
Hare Krishna, I think it's an interesting point. And as you said, it's like there's a, not a contradiction, but there's two ways of looking at it. It reminds me of a couple of things Srila Prabhupada said. One is he quoted, I think it's an English expression, that man proposes and God disposes. And another thing, another one Prabhupada said was, I don't know if I have it exactly right, but it was basically the idea is work as though you were the doer, but know that you're not. So in other words, everything is dependent upon Krishna, Krishna and Guru, their mercy. We can't do anything without them, and our liberation or salvation is completely due to their mercy. It's not mechanical. And at the same time, we're asked to make some endeavor. In other words, the free will of the living entity is always there, and we can choose to accept the mercy or not. So in other words, we show Krishna and Guru our sincerity by our sadhana, by our effort, by our hearing and chanting, and through that show of sincerity, then of course we're delivered by their mercy.
Yeah, so with that, Srila Prabhupada says, actually Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says that don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna would see you. Yes, Kalapani Prabhu?
Also, my understanding is that in the current age, we're so fallen and incapable of doing anything for ourselves, that this specific system of bhakti has been developed by the six Goswamis and given to us. Whereas in 5,000 years ago, people were not so incapable of doing anything for themselves. So the spiritual path may have consisted more of their personal endeavor, although we understand that without an element of bhakti, they can't succeed.
It's yes and no. Look at the case of Arjuna. He had so much ability, and he was like the personal friend of Krishna, and such a great devotee. So he was making such personal endeavor, you can say, all the Pandava brothers, but they were fully dependent. They had complete dependence on the Lord. He with Arjuna, whatever, when Krishna says you can either have me or have the entire army. First of all, Duryodhan had the first choice, Arjuna had the first choice, but Duryodhan took the opportunity to take the entire army. And Arjuna, fully surrendered, was fully satisfied just taking Krishna. So, that full surrender was there with all that they had, all those tremendous abilities, to do things on their own. But the same principle of service and surrender, just that they manifested in a different way. So, that's another side. Madam Montu?
I was thinking of the Dhammadhar Leela, the 2 inches too short or 2 fingers too short.
Yes.
What were the 2 fingers?
Thus, one is endeavor and the other one is dependence, surrender.
Krishna's mercy. And then there's the 10.14.3, the Ajita Jita, that Krishna becomes conquered by those who have dedicated lives to these narrations that we're reading. So for Rasa Shravan group.
Yep. So, yeah, thank you very much for that. So anyway, this process, it's the ultimate thing is dependence of the Lord. Like Srila Prabhupada said, he said, with all, I'm always dependent, but I never stop working. I'm working 24 hours a day. Right? Srila Prabhupada said like that. That he didn't say, well, oh, I'm fully dependent, and you know, I just relax, so I depend. Sometimes you find some people like that. Not devotees, but I've seen karmis. He said, oh, I depend on God, so I just lay there. You know, of course, we have some example like the Python man in the Bhagavatam. You know? But that dependence also have a lot of character to it. It's not just, you know, just sit there like that. So this is a devotee's position, that even jumping over the calf, the hoof prints of a calf, a devotee act in a personal way in dependence of the Lord, and then the Lord make that arrangement where he can jump over it rather than he trying to jump over it himself, as some of the other aspects of philosophies go. And I was also thinking that with these yogendras here, they were describing the pastimes, the all incarnations of the Lord. And, you know, they weren't cheaters, as I said earlier, they weren't cheaters, and they were very honest with themselves and very humble too. It's like they didn't say, oh, Mr. King Nimi, just to let you know that my father, Rishabhadev, was one of the incarnations also. Not only in this chapter, you didn't hear the mention of Rishabhadev. With all, they're the sons of the incarnation of the Lord, Lord Rishabhadev. There are so many incarnations, so many, what we can say, lesser important per se incarnations. But they didn't mention that. So that honesty and sincerity and surrender and give what was most necessary at the moment, it was the forefront of everyone's heart and everyone's light. So this is like the level of Krishna consciousness that they were on. I remember when I was a teenager, I'm not sure if Krishna Kesha was there. In Guyana, we were late for a midday program. We were going from one temple to the other. So we had this bus. I was the only one with a driver's license. I was driving the bus, and the bus was like overloaded with devotees. We had twice as many devotees as was legally allowed to put there. And it had no insurance, no license, no horn. The wiper was, I had a wiper blade in my hand, and we had to stick our hands out and wipe. So anyway, we pulled up to the toll station, and when we pulled up there, there was a black police officer. He saw us and he pulled us over. So, my license would be taken away here today. So as soon as he pulled us over, my godbrother stuck his head through the window and said, "Hey, Jah, hail the man." I said, and you know, Jah, you know, like the Rastafarians. I said, "Jah, hail the man." So, and he said, "Oh, you worship my God too?" He said, "Okay, you guys can go." So it's like, you know, the idea is that, okay, you know, people, they like to know when you're thinking the way they're thinking and to be on their side. So like that pride is there. But with these sages, they didn't show that pride. Well, okay, oh, you know what? My father is God also. I want to mention that here. I'm going to mention he's the first incarnation. He's the first one I'm going to mention. We're talking about incarnations. Let's start with Lord Rishabhadev. He's my father, you know. Let you know this is my father. But they didn't do that, you know. They didn't even mention. So this is another quality that is portrayed here in these verses of that humility, that transcendental nature of presenting Krishna consciousness in this systematic way so that it benefits all of us. So anyway, I would, yeah, Kalipani Prabhu, want to say something? Yes, yes. Comments, criticisms.
It's an amazing thought that at the time of the Mahabharata, like you were saying, there was a whole powerful, sophisticated society that had no books. And I just wonder if you can verify that, because we know Vyasadeva divided the Veda into four, and his scribe was Ganesh, who supposedly wrote everything down. So what's the time frame there? I mean,
Yeah, that time frame. It's my understanding that was written after Krishna departed. Isn't that correct? That the Bhagavatam was written, like all, as a matter of fact, all the scriptures that, even at the time of Lord Krishna, which is in the beginning of the end of Dwapara Yuga, there were no written information. And anyone else has any information on that? So, which is like less than 5,000 years that written information came into being? Shesha Prabhu?
Well, I don't know time, but I mean, there was definitely a period in Vedic civilization where knowledge was transferred by sound vibration, not by books. I don't know when it happened or at the time, but that definitely was a time period where there weren't written books like that.
So my understanding was Vyasadeva wrote it down at the beginning of Kali Yuga, which had been right after
the disappearance of Krishna's departure,
as you said, because we no longer have those kind of memories.
Yeah, that was one of the instructions that Narad Muni gave to Vyasadeva, to write these down, because in this age people have short memory, and they won't be able to remember things. And then the quality of the cheaters are coming up. So people would have the nature to cheat. So therefore, we need to have profound, information. Like even nowadays, we have to have all this, our information so stored, all the original information, so that anyone has questions, we can go back and reference. We can go back there to say, this is not false information, this is authoritative, there's no screwing in or screwing out of anything, it's all authoritative. Madan Mohan Prabhu?
Like the Shruti Dari says, if you heard it one time, he had it. It was there. And what was the story of, there was a court hearing and they called someone in who overheard a conversation at a river that was about a crime. And when they called him in, they asked him, and he repeated the whole conversation, and they asked him something else, and said, we didn't speak the language. So that was just a little bit about how the Shruti does, that you could just hear something one time.
Those are the different, like the abilities that they had then as against now. But we have this great opportunity by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, that whatever little ability we have, we use it in Krishna's service, and he actually makes up the difference. He helps. Actually, there's this one, I got this other one, I'm not sure you can find him on the phone here now. One time Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned to the devotees, he said that you have to become 90% Krishna conscious, then you can, go back to Godhead. So all the devotees left with their eyes and mouth open. Oh, we can't do that. Then he said, okay, then 80%. And I said, oh, even that we can't do. Then he said, okay, 70%. And then I said, yes, that sounds reasonable. So while Srila Prabhupada was walking back to his room, one devotee went to him, with a sad face, and he said, Srila Prabhupada, even 70% I can't do. He said, don't worry, just hold on to my dhoti, I have a key to the back door. So that is Srila Prabhupada's mercy, and that is Lord Chaitanya's mercy, that even, that even though we don't have the ability, if we're simply sincere, And whatever little we can offer with sincerity, you know, Lord Chaitanya promised to make up the difference. So that's not a statement that one should take lightly. If, okay, Lord Chaitanya is going to make up, so therefore, you know, we just don't do much. We, you know, the idea is to make our best effort in Krishna consciousness. And then whatever is short. Even at the end, Srila Prabhupada said, he said, one reason why I'm suffering is because sometimes I chastise devotees and I get so, you know, so hard on them. That he doesn't know what how much effort a devotee takes to perform a little bit service, and sometimes he would criticize them for not doing more. He said like that, right? Towards the end, Srila Prabhupada mentioned something like that. Yes, he said, yeah, he said one reason why I'm suffering is because I've actually harassed some devotees. Yeah. Towards his final pastimes, it's there somewhere. So, yeah.
Do you know the meaning of the word Hiranyaksha?
Not quite, no. Can you explain? Do you know?
Well, I was trying to figure it out. There's Hiranya, which means gold, and then Aksha means eyes. So it could mean golden eye, but then you've also got the word Yaksha. So if he's being referred to as a Yaksha, or that's what I would
think. It can also be, you know, the one who is looking for gold, in other words, looking for very materialistic. That's like what Hiranyakashipu means, you know, one who wants gold and soft bed and everything that's materially enjoyable. So, I don't want to speculate, but it can be something in that line, if anyone else has any information on that. So, are there anything else? Okay, so we can stop here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.